would just like to ask you to bow your heads with me as we approach this infinitely important topic. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have done all you could to show us how much you love us by sending your son Jesus to be born of a woman and to live a human life that the Almighty God, the Creator, the Word, was made flesh so that by his poverty we might be made rich. And he that knew no sin was made sin for us that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, Father, please come and speak to us today, that we may trust you as never before as we go forward in these last days of Earth's history. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So my question to you is, good morning, and how are you? Amen. Do you have any challenges in your life today? Do you come to church with challenges? If you have challenges in your life today, what will you have tomorrow? And let's think about it. If we don't know how to deal with the challenges of today, how will the challenges of tomorrow deal with us? Or if I don't know how to deal with the challenges of today, how will the challenges of tomorrow deal with me? How will they deal with you? Friends, I want to share with you what I have found to be extremely encouraging and comforting to me, my family, and that has sustained me through some of the darkest moments in my life. Dark moments. Have we ever had any of them? Have you had any dark moments in your life? Where you came to such a low point in your life that you felt that it was impossible to go any lower. And what was that point? What was that point that was the darkest point in your life? Maybe you haven't had a darkest point yet. Maybe you're too young to have a darkest point. Where somehow life just seems to come to an end, come to a halt, and you seem to have no strength. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to go forward. I think of many young people, young and old, and the lowest point of their life is when they're driven to the point of not wanting to live anymore. I think that's probably the lowest that a person could go to, not wanting to live anymore. You know, when I was ministering in England, that was 10 years I had in England, from 91 to 2001, I was at a church north of Watford that was called Hemel Hempstead. Now, Watford is kind of like the hub of Adventism in England. There you have Stanbrough Park, which is where the boarding school is, and the main kind of white church there. And you'll know why I said that if you talk to me afterwards. And it has the South England Conference offices there in Watford. It has the British Union offices on Stanbrough Park. And even St. Albans is just about 13 miles away from Watford. All of this is about north of London, say 20 minutes up the M1. And that's like the 131, kind of just goes up from south to north, and it goes from London. And it's there, a little church called Hemel Hempstead. I got to know this really young family. They had a couple of boys, and then they had a third boy, and they were similar ages to Esther and Jessica. And I really became friends with them. They were kind of our age, so that was nice. You know, pastor goes and and it's easy to mix and mingle with members of your own age. And he had a brother, the father of this family. He had a brother that was a member in that church as well, and he'd been through some very, very trying and difficult times. His wife had left him, probably more because of his problems. But so I would spend long nights past midnight with him and praying with him and helping him and encouraging. Anyway, it was his brother and his wife that had these children, and we were really close to them. And then we moved to Switzerland and were there for 4 years. And Switzerland has got lots of what? Lots of snow, lots of what? Mountains. Yeah, I mean, it has the most beautiful mountains in Europe, as you know, the Mont Blanc, reaching there about 4,000 meters. What's that? Probably about 12,000 feet or more. And so they came one winter vacation for a skiing vacation. And we would have them in our home, and we would drive just about an hour into France to go on the skis, the ski lifts and the slopes there as a whole family, the two families. It was great fun. They had three boys and our two girls. And their middle boy was a very lively little chap, and he was very talkative and full of fun and very kind of lively. And we would enjoy our times together. And they spent about a week with us this particular time. And then they would go home. And all of this friendship was going on, and it was such a wonderful thing. And then one day after we had moved here to America, we had a very, very sad and troubling email from the mother, and said that their little 14-year-old boy, the little middle boy, had taken his life. And, you know, that is devastating. And the thing about it is that he had written a little note. He had come to the depths of despair, of depression. And apparently, depression in teenagers can be very high and very drastic. And so, with this devastating news, we kind of didn't know what to do, didn't know what to say, other than we're praying for you. And of course, the mother now is very involved in organizing so that people can be aware of this and help young teenagers that have depression, and to realize that these low points can be so low that they crush out the desire to live. And friends, what is the solution to this kind of thing? What is it that we can hold on to that will help us go through the depths of despair and come out on the other side victorious? Is there something, or is there nothing? And I want us to think about the depths of despair and look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with me, if you will. I mean, let's turn to Matthew 26. And we see Jesus is the one that is constantly encouraging his disciples. He is constantly praying for them. He's constantly concerned about them. Now, Jesus in Gethsemane is looking for human companionship, and he's looking for human encouragement, and he wants to see his disciples in prayer. You see, they had been in the upper room, and Jesus had said that you're all going to be offended by me. In other words, that they were all going to run and leave him. And they started saying, no, we won't. And Peter pipes up and says, well, even if everybody leaves you, I will never leave you. Even if I die, I will not betray you. And of course, Jesus is able to know and understand what's going to happen. And he says to Peter, look, it's going to be, the cock is going to crow three times, and you're going to deny me, or twice, and you're going to deny me three times. And everybody is thinking that they have their relationship with Jesus okay. And Jesus is going through, after the upper room experience, he's going through the Mount of Olives. And as he's going through the Mount of Olives, he sees the vines, and he says that I am the vine and you are the branches. No man can produce fruit unless he is in me. And so he's giving his discourse, but then it suddenly hits him when he comes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says to the majority of disciples, just stay here and watch with me a while. And they knew that when they came to the Mount of Olives and to the Garden of Gethsemane, that Jesus was going to pray. They had prayed with him before. In fact, James and John had been with Jesus before, and they had been with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so Jesus takes them a little bit further away from the rest of the disciples, and he says, watch here, and he says, watch and pray. And they are noticing Jesus is struck with fear. He is struck, he is weakened to the point that he says, my soul sorrows unto death. He has a burden that is upon him that is crushing the life out of him. He says in verse 38 of Matthew 26, he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. Now he wasn't thinking of committing suicide, but the burden of the sins, the terrible nature of sin was upon him, and the separation that brought to him was crushing the life out of the Son of God. And the Bible says he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And Jesus says to disciples, watch and pray. What is he looking for, friends? He's looking for the encouragement. Do you know how encouraging it is to see somebody pray, to come to prayer meeting, and to know that we are a family that prays together? Jesus was looking for human companionship at the level of praying with him and being in solidarity with him. And he comes to the disciples after he's falling on the ground and he's clutching the ground because he feels something's going to wrench him away from this earth. He goes to his fellow disciples and they are snoring away. They are asleep. You know, I was reading it, the chapter in Desire of Ages, and it's Ellen White says that it seemed like a stupor of sleep fell upon them. And you know, that's describing, you know how it is sometimes. Have you ever been to Friday night Vespers? And it's been a long week and you've been getting up early and going to bed late and you're sitting there and you're fighting for all your worth. You're trying not to go to sleep, but your eyes are just getting so heavy and it feels just so sweet just to let your eyes kind of close just for a little bit and just fall a little bit asleep because you're so still and you're warm and you've, it's like a hypnotism, and you're fighting it, and you can't, and it's that seemed to be what happening to them. You know what? I believe the devil is able to kind of waft his sleepiness over the congregation sometimes. And it takes self-discipline. It takes determination not to fall asleep at sometimes at the most crucial moment in our lives. Let's face it, this was the most crucial moment in the life of Jesus. When he was desperately looking for that companionship, she writes that if Jesus had gone back and found them in prayer, he would have been encouraged. But there was nothing to encourage him, no one to encourage him. He was by himself, bearing the burden and the guilt of the whole world upon his heart. Now, I don't know if you've been sad. Have you been sad? I mean, we just heard of little Amy, the granddaughter, I think it's granddaughter of Charles. They lost their baby. Can you imagine the devastation? The pain? You know, we never really know or understand that kind of pain until we go through it ourselves, right? Then we understand. And so we need to give each other that human companionship, that human warmth. Jesus was going through this experience, not in his divinity, but in his humanity. And the humanity that he took was the same as ours. He was looking for human comfort. He could have been encouraged if they were praying, and he goes to them once, he goes to them twice, they're still sleeping. And he says, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And he says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I don't have the time to go into that. I don't want to distract our focus right now, which is watch and pray. And you see, often when we need to pray the most is when the devil is wafting that sleep, hypnotic kind of air over us. And Ellen White says that if they had been in prayer, he would have been encouraged. He needed that encouragement. And he was praying himself. He said, oh, Father, take this cup from me. But if it doesn't go from me, your will be done. And what's the point of that? Watching and praying. That's where he got his strength from. Do you realize how much was in the balance? This was the pinnacle of the efforts of the devil to make Jesus fail. You see, the whole point of Jesus coming and living a human life, think about it, friends. He could have come, kind of, beam me down, Scotty, a fully grown man, and, you know, a few minutes before he's going to die on the cross and everything be okay. Why does he allow himself to be born of a human, fallen, sinful flesh, a woman, and be a baby, and be a little toddler? That's so that he identifies 100% with you and me. He is not trying to take any shortcuts in his humanity. He is living everything that any human being after the fall has to live, but he lives it not in his divine strength and his innate divinity. He puts that aside and he lives as you and I must live, and so he relies on the Father for everything. What is that telling you? It shows, number one, just how far he was willing to come down to pick us up from where we are and take us to be where he wants to have us with him. And so everything that he did, he said, I of my own self can do nothing. I mean, was he just, you know, reading the script to sound good? It was because it was true. Everything that he did, friends, was through the divine power that he received through prayer from the Father. That's telling you and me that there is no limit to how much strength and power God is willing to make available for you and I. But let's get back to those dark moments again. Discouragement. Depression. I just spoke about a good friend of mine who's a little boy, took his life. It's real. Blackness and hopelessness. Jesus felt it to a greater degree than any human being could possibly do it. Because you see, now the devil was laying everything at him. Do you know that the devil was able to suggest thoughts to Jesus? Saying, look, the religious leaders are all corrupt. Not one of them has really supported you. Your disciples will all leave you. They hadn't left him yet, because he's still in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas hasn't yet arrived yet. Your disciples are all going to leave you. It's not worth it, Jesus. It really isn't. And, you know, it wasn't so much the taunting of the devil that was really crushing him. It was the sensation, the perception that he had, that his Father had left him and that the seriousness of sin was now crushing the very life out of him. And you know, sometimes we see these pictures, don't we, of Jesus like this, kind of bowed down. His chest is hurting. Has any of you had any chest pains? You know, that can happen just because of stress. That can happen even when you're approaching an exam. That can happen to a preacher when he's nervous and he knows he has to preach in the morning. It happens to me often. I get these pains in my chest. I'm human. Jesus was human as well. But his pain and his darkness was crushing him to the point that he was sweating blood. That's a physical condition that is possible. You ask a doctor. When it's the thin blood vessels will rupture right close to where the sweat pores are, and blood comes out. You need to read the chapter in Desire of Ages. In fact, would you bear with me? And I just read a little bit from this amazingly inspired writing here. As Christ felt his unity with the Father broken up, this is page 686, he feared that in his human nature, he would be unable to endure the coming conflict with the powers of darkness. In the wilderness of temptation, the destiny of the human race had been at stake. Christ was then conqueror. Now the tempter had come for that last fearful struggle. For this he had been preparing during the 3 years of Christ's ministry. So the devil is ratcheting up all he can to really hit Jesus with all he's got to make sure that he fails. And sometimes we miss this. We miss the element of the possibility of Christ actually failing. And we forget that he was doing it and enduring it all as a human being. Praise God. Emmanuel, God with us. God in the flesh. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Everything was at stake now. If Jesus failed here, or if the devil failed, his hope of mastery was lost. The kingdoms of the world would finally become Christ's. He himself would be overthrown and cast out. The devil is a supernatural being. He had all of his supernatural angels, fallen angels, enlisted on his side. Jesus is alone. This is the intensity of the great controversy. Right there, everything is at stake. Your salvation that you and I take so much for granted so often was in the balance there. We kind of after the fact and we, you know, just kind of relieved. But brothers and sisters, if Jesus didn't go through this, we wouldn't be here today. If Christ could be overcome, the earth would become Satan's kingdom, and the human race would be forever in his power. Could you imagine that? Forever. With the issues of the conflict before him, Christ's soul was filled with dread of the separation that he was feeling from the Father. Satan told him that if he became the surety for the sinful world, the separation would be eternal. He would be identified with Satan's kingdom. He would never more be one with God. If Jesus was going to go through this, the devil was trying to convince him, that's it. You're separated from your Father forever. What was to be gained by the sacrifice, the devil would taunt? How hopeless appeared the guilt and ingratitude of men. You see, that's even harder, isn't it? Jesus was going to his disciples and looking for some sympathy. Would they understand what he's going through? They were asleep. Jesus told them, watch and pray. Friends, how about us? Watch and pray. Jesus prayed, oh my Father, if it be possible, not once but twice, if it be possible, take this cup from me. But he adds, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. you know, even when it hurts, even we're in the depths of despair, we can still pray. We can still watch and pray so that we don't enter into temptation. Jesus' temptation was there. The greatest thing was to let go and let this ungrateful race just die and suffer the consequences of their own sins. He could have done that. But Ellen White writes that he comes to a point when he sees as he's sensing the malignancy of sin, how terrible it is, but he sees you and me. And he sees that without his sacrifice, we are totally lost. We are hopeless. And then she writes, and this is the beauty of prayer and the power of prayer and the persistence in prayer. When we pray, let me just quiz you a little bit here. When we pray, where do our prayers ascend to? What location? Amen, brother. Our prayers, as you look at the sanctuary service, you see the altar of incense, and that altar of incense was in front of the curtain behind which is the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God is, and the incense would go up and waft up over, and the Bible says, you read it in Revelation, that this was the prayers of the saints. So when we pray, we have access to the very throne of God. Now, the thing about when you get to the throne of God is there is infinite power available at your disposal. Amen? Did you get that? When we pray, our prayers ascend up with, let's say, the translation of the Holy Spirit, right up into the heavenly sanctuary, right over the curtain, and into the most holy place, into the presence of God, where there is power. Now, you see, sometimes our prayers may be kind of going up and up and up and up, and we give up, and so they didn't quite reach the heavenly sanctuary. And then we didn't get answer. But we need to keep on praying, and so the prayers would go up and up. You see, God needs us to remain sufficient time in an attitude of prayer so that we can be changed by communion with Him. Prayer is not, oh, give me this, give me that, and give me the other. Prayer is, change me, make me into who you want me to be so that I can serve you. Give me the power that I do not have as a human being. Give me the power in answer to prayer so that I can go through this dark valley that I'm going through right now that the devil is using to try and make me give up. Like that little boy that thought there was nothing worth living for. Parents loved him. Can you imagine the mother reading the little note of a dead boy? I mean, they even heard the news. They didn't know other than that there was police and ambulance at their house. Prayer can keep us from the depths of despair. And so Ellen White writes that as Jesus was praying, that an angel came from the most holy place, the angel that was replacing Satan, because you know the cherubim? The Bible says that the devil was one of those cherubim that was on the throne of God, and was one was one side and one was the other. The Satan was that Lucifer, the light bearer, was a chosen angel, a cherubim, right there. The one that replaced him now came down in answer to the prayers of the Son of God and encouraged him, gave him strength. And now the pain that was crushing his heart, the agony was still there, but now the assurance that he was accepted before the Father was flooding his body, his being, with energy now to go forward. When Jesus came to the disciples and saw his face, they couldn't recognize him. Have you ever had so much pain, so much sorrow, so much loss that you don't even look like yourself anymore? And so, Jesus, against all odds, he stayed there doing what he wants us to follow him in as an example, follow his example. Never, ever give up praying. Our prayers are sent to the most holy place. That's where the power comes from. The throne of God, amen? When the Holy Spirit was poured out, where did it come from? The most holy place. That's where it comes from. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is us taking ourselves in submission, in humility, right to the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may find grace to help us in that time of need. Why boldly? Because nobody could go there except the high priest once a year. But now, because Jesus is there, representing us in human form, and he has got the high priestly robes on him, with the names of the tribe of Israel on his chest and on his shoulder, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is with your name on his chest. So when we pray, our prayers go boldly to the throne of grace because Jesus is our high priest right now. Can you say amen? Friends, the angel came from the most holy place to comfort Jesus. And all of the heavenly hosts were holding their breath because they knew that if Jesus didn't go through with this, everything was at stake. The fallen worlds were hushed. There was no noise in heaven. Nobody was singing. Nobody was talking. They were watching in silent grief. Have you ever been so grieved, so sad, you couldn't say a thing? That's how they were, looking at Jesus. But the angel came, and thank God the angel came, and encouraged Jesus. The angel will come and encourage you and I. Oh, friends, we're talking about trust today. Everything that has to do with who we are and religion and Christianity, it's about trust. You see, Jesus said, Father, this is how I'm feeling. This is crushing me. I can't take anymore. I'm going to die here unless you do something. Father, take this cup away. Can you please take it away? Disciples, you're not even praying. Lord, help me. He's there in his humanity, suffering, and he is upheld by an angel that comes to his aid. And I believe that the angels of God will come and help each one of us, if we would just watch and pray. It's about trusting God. It's about knowing who God is. Jesus called him Father, Daddy. He's calling him Abba, Papi. Do you trust God enough to pray to him, even though you're going through so much pain, you can't understand it? God can take you if you just hold on. If you just hang in there, don't give up. Don't listen to the devil's lies, to the devil's discouragement. You know, sometimes the devil whispers things like, why do you keep coming to this church? There's hardly anybody coming to church anyway. I mean, look at them. It's such a small little group. I mean, what's the point? Why don't you go to a bigger church? Watch and pray. We need to watch and pray. We can never stop watching and pray. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So that means if we're watching and praying, we will not enter into temptation. Temptation will come. But temptation will go when we watch and pray. How about it, friends? You know, watching and praying takes some effort. Amen? Jesus was going to pray all night. You see, so in the past, they had been praying, and then they'd kind of fall asleep afterwards, and then everything was okay. Jesus would wake them up and say, okay, it's time to go into our day's work now. But this time was different. Jesus was there all night, and not one of them watched with him. What a precious experience they missed, huh? An opportunity to be praying with Jesus, encouraging him. But praise God, God does not let one of his praying children be left alone. Even if there's nobody else, humanly speaking, around you, Jesus is always there. Amen? I remember a time when my wife and I were in the depths of despair. I remember it well. I still have a recorded message on my cell phone that I never delete. just to remind me of what we went through. I remember being kneeling on the floor and the sobs and the cries and of the pain. We could do no other. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how sincere our prayers get when things get a bit drastic, isn't it? But you know, there's comfort. There was comfort for me and my wife. Even through the tears, through the pain, through the expectation of severe loss, similar to the one that I described to you that my friends experienced. It seemed like it was going that way. But there was something holy. There was something sacred about us just crying out to the Lord as we were and trusting Him, relying on Him. Somehow that gave us strength. Somehow it gave us the ability to trust God, just crying out to Him. Friends, we must watch and pray. And you know, it's when we're tired and when we're sleepy that we so often neglect it. And then we only really get down to prayer when it's serious. But Jesus kept His habit of prayer all throughout His life. And so He knew. He had had answers before. He knew where to go to now. Friends, will you watch and pray with me for this church? Will you? Will you watch and pray for me? For everyone that's seated here in the pews. Will you watch and pray, though you feel sleepy, though you feel tired, though whatever. Watch and pray. Because there's no limit to the power that God will give to those that will watch and pray. Will you watch and pray, dear friends? All of heaven is ready to unleash divine power to be at your and my disposal. That's awesome. That's awesome. We shouldn't be thinking just about planting this church and growing this church. We should be thinking of planting other churches out of this one once it gains power and strength through the Word of God and through prayer. Through prayer. Friends, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And we all can say today, thank God for Jesus and that He went through it for us, so that we can go through it as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Perez, you are such a hard act to follow that I won't even attempt to. I don't need to. It's a good thing I don't need to follow up with him. He's such a hard act to follow. But I would like to open up that joy factor that he's been talking about. And it's Jesus is coming again for us. Amen. And if I might just encourage us pilgrims, Jesus is coming again, verse 213, page 213. Please stand for the last closing hymn. Jesus is coming again, 213. And if I might show you just the first verse, it shows that joy factor that we're entitled to. Cheer up, ye pilgrims. Amen. Be joyful and sing. Amen. Amen.
Let me sing it with you. Sure, of course. Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Echo it, hilltops, proclaim it, ye plains. Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain.
To give you an opportunity, maybe there's somebody here that has been tempted to give up, and if you want to ask God for strength to carry on, I'd like to invite you to just come forward, and we want to pray with you. You can maybe just continue the music there. You know, the temptation to give up is sometimes overwhelmingly big. To give up on your faith, to give up on your studies, to give up on your family. Friends, but I hope that you've seen Jesus in his humanity. He did not give up. And the only thing that helped him and kept him from giving up was his prayers to the Father. And friends, if you want to say, Lord, help me never, never, ever to give up. Never to give up on the Adventist church. Just want you to come forward, because this is serious. The devil is doing all he can to mix up our church, change what we believe, and confuse everybody. And it's going to, we're having, Ellen White says that the Lord allows error to come into the church to purify the church. So we need to watch and pray now more than ever before. It's not just about our own lives. It's about the life of this church here. Are you willing to come forward and say, Lord, help me never to leave the church, the remnant church. Help me never to entertain thoughts of saying, well, this maybe isn't your remnant church again. Just come forward so that God can see you mean business. And if anybody wants to recommit their lives to Jesus and say, Lord, here I am, take me as I am. I want to recommit my life to you. If you want to do that, just come forward too. God is in this place. He is calling. And you know, friends, when he calls, he also equips. He will give you the power. You see, friends, the faith that we need and the trust that we need is not something that we can fabricate ourselves. It's something that's given to us as a gift. I am here today, not because I'm smart, not because I'm clever, but by the grace of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody else that wants to say, Lord, I want to come forward because from now on I want to live only by your grace? Just you come forward too. Just come forward so that Jesus can be the one that will help you go forward. You see, friends, God has amazing plans for your life. And so often we discount that. Because we look so much at our surroundings, and then the devil is trying to use the discouraging surroundings to make us kind of deviate. Friends, Jesus is Almighty God. He is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The government is upon his shoulders. He carries you upon his shoulders. You know that song, he's got the whole world in his hand? And he's carrying us. But we must be willing to surrender. We must be willing to submit. Jesus was tempted to say, this is too much. I cannot take this. But he held on to the point where he was strengthened by an angel from the most holy place. Friends, this is the kind of relationship that God wants to have with you. Do you want to have a closer walk with Jesus? Just come forward. Just come forward. Do you want to really be sure that God is real? And this isn't just a phony thing. You really want to know that God lives in your heart. Just come forward and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to live in my heart. Amen. God bless you. They're coming forward. See, what I'm sharing with you is the power of God. Our faith shouldn't stand in the words of men, but in the power of God. Amen. The music has stopped, but heaven is singing. Do you know that? Heaven is singing right now. Would you bow with me and join me in prayer that every one of us, not one of us, would be lost and that we would all be in the kingdom of heaven? Shall we pray that prayer? Let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, at this sacred hour, we give you thanks because you have demonstrated your power in our lives. Each one of us has a story of sorrow or sadness or grief or difficulty, pain or suffering or loss, depression. Father, sometimes our brain just tricks us. And we have these strange thoughts that are trying to discourage us, trying to make us throw in the towel and just give up. Lord Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your amazing plan of salvation. And we thank you for Jesus. And one day, we will see Jesus face to face. Father, many have come forward today because they're saying we don't want ever to turn our backs on you or on your church. We want to be planting new churches. We want to see your Spirit move. It's not anybody's. Intellectual ability or preaching skill or charisma. It's none of that. It's not by might nor by power, humanly speaking, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And he is the Lord of hosts, and we thank you for that, dear Father. So please bless everyone that is here. We're praying, Lord, and we're asking you that not one of us here would be lost. And then because of that experience that you give us of joy and the assurance of salvation, that we put out these crazy thoughts that the devil tries to discourage us with, that we would go forward with strength, courage, and victory, power, endurance, to bring others to the foot of the cross of Jesus. Father, we want to go from this place knowing that we need Jesus more today than ever before. We need more today to be born again of the Spirit than ever before. We need to let sinful flesh die more than ever before. In fact, Father, let us do that every day. Thank you for your message of love to us today. And we praise you and look forward to the soon coming of Jesus. May we be ready. May this place be filled. And may we rejoice to see you coming soon. Is our prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And don't forget, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, and you will be victorious.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.